24-363, moved by Counselor Zulak, second by Counselor Kekkonen, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session of Council at
6:30.
6:30 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And resolution 24-364, moved by Counselor Haskin, second by Counselor Ryland. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held June 18, 2024. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Since we're back into open session, we'll do the roll call again.
Counselor Morley Haskin.
Counselor Nick Ryland.
Counselor Libby Zula.
Counselor May Kekkonen.
Acting Clerk Administrator Carly Britton.
Fire Chief Robert Morrison.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof?
Yes, I have a declaration. Planning Matters 15.1.
Okay, thank you. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Now, we've moved the agenda somewhat from the opening, so we're actually down just prior to 14, but we've... Oh, I guess it's all here, is it? No, that's coming up. Okay. So we'll go down to 21.2 on the agenda. Since we have Fire Chief Rob Morrison here, so he can speak to these issues before it goes back to training session. And 21.2 deals with the open air burning bylaw, and it's for third reading. And so we have a resolution here, and we can discuss. We have resolution 24-365, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak, whereas bylaw 2024-38 was read for the first and second time on June the 4th, 2024. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-38, being a bylaw to prescribe times for setting fires and precautions slash restrictions for burning, and to repeal bylaw number 2019-24 as amended, a third reading, and further pass in open council this 18th day of June 2024. Okay, turn it over to Rob if you want to speak to it, or some changes, or...
Everybody received my memorandum I sent to council. The points that were asked to discuss in the previous meeting. Answering the question was the critical clearances in the area that we reside around us. So there are some significantly smaller clearances. It appears that our bylaw perhaps was greatly influenced by the Perry Sound bylaw that we had it redone in 2019. Just by the clearances that are included in it are identical to these. And that is the only place in the direct vicinity that I can find has any clear clearance. So I've provided you with the numbers for the townships around us, my suggestions in the memorandum, and essentially turn it over to council to make a decision they're happy with.
Yeah, I think that's... good idea to sort of compromise, and I have no problem with the 5. I don't think that is quite as draconian as the 8 or the 10 that you'd recommended, and I think the 5 is that's certainly fine with me. We'll put it over to council and see what you think. And that it still allows some people in the village, I think, some opportunity. I haven't looked at all of the lots, mind you, but I think they could probably find enough clearance.
My suggestion was also that I would repeal the... I rescind my suggestion that an exemption would be available at that point for the, an exemption for clearances would be situation where I'd be happy essentially bringing it even closer to a residence or property line or something like that. So.
Okay.
So there would be the only, the only changes to the bylaw would be the removal of the open air burning exemption section.
And what?
That's in discussion with somebody who had questions regarding the bylaw. There were just two small additions that we thought would make it even easier to read. One would be the inclusion of the word extreme in 5.1D.
What page is that, Rob? Sorry.
Page 5.
Okay. Right.
Extreme.
Not permitted during a fire ban or RFZ. Because we use the terminology extreme, under extreme, it is known as a fire ban. But just to use the actual word that we use on the signs, being extreme.
Okay.
Just to make it a little easier to understand. And goes along with that. It would also be, because I have received a few questions about the fireworks allowances and so forth, it would be probably handy to include, and again, this is the material change, so in the bottom of the fire ratings graphic on the second last page. We would just include the, in yellow and in red, we would just include the statement that no fireworks permitted. As under our model, the only thing we have in more moderate. So no significant changes beyond that.
The issue about using the word extreme, Rob, also exists on 3.4, which is on page 4. It's in there because, again, we're saying no person shall set, maintain, permit, or cause to be set or maintain an open air fire during a fire ban. And again, it's the same issue, just that we should say
extreme ban. Slash fire ban.
Right.
And it should be a standard verbiage.
And an RFZ. I mean, if we're going to make it comparable with 5.1. D, we would say the same words on all of them. Yeah,
sure.
All, both of them at least. But
yep.
Okay.
Again, nothing significant enough. I don't think we should be able to pass this.
You did make also mention that
are we looking into the bylaw or are we
your memorandum?
Okay. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah, so the common denominator between them all is that no daytime burning is allowed. Many choosing to abide by the recommended 2 hours before sunset and 2 hours after sunrise. I believe that 5.1C should be removed. Any daytime burning, any time of day during the low, moderate, or high fire ranging danger rating for cooking purposes, that should be removed to align with the Ontario regulation.
So this was the one that I got the suggestion, I got the recommendation by the MNR Legal, if you remember, in the last meeting. They said that there's absolutely no reason why we couldn't have daytime cooking fires for the purpose of cooking, okay? Why you couldn't have a campfire at lunchtime to cook your lunch. So according to the MNR, there's no issue with that. There is actually one white stone which does allow for daytime campfires in low and moderate.
So, but they have required permits. Everyone has to register for a permit in Whitestone?
Correct, yes.
So it aligns with exactly what you said here, that the common denominator between them all is that no daytime burning is allowed. And the conversation that you had from someone with MNRF, can you get that in writing? Because when you look at Ontario regulation 20796, it abides by, and this is Ontario regulation, I'm sure MNRF, they apply this in any of the situations that they're dealing with, and it deals with the 2 hours before sunset and 2 hours before sunrise. Because when you look at it, right now, currently, 6 months of the year, people can burn, have open air fires without a permit.
Correct.
6 months of the year, they can have a fire for recreational purposes or an open air fire between the hours of 6 p.m. and 10 a.m., 16 hours of the day, 7 days a week. Don't you think that's enough time for the people to enjoy, but they're avoiding the most high-risk time of the day where, number one, the ground dries out, the fuel source dries out, the UV rays are stronger, and the wind picks up. That's a common denominator factor, the wind picks up. And if you read the literature, and it basically says the highest risk times are when there's dry conditions and when the wind picks up. And that's every day pretty well during the times of, say, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
So if you would like to remove that, then I'm not going to oppose you because it does, in my opinion, provide a safer environment. I do, however, feel that there's probably no reason to remove that. It is something that a lot of people have requested the ability to have within the township. And I do, if you require it in writing, I do have an email chain that I'd be happy to print off where it clearly spells out the question of, is it okay to allow daytime fires for the purposes of cooking? And the response is yes, it is. So this was a recommendation for me because, as stated in these chambers, you were trying to open it up a little bit more, make it a little bit more free. I thought, given the inquiries that I've gotten, that would be something that a lot of people would have appreciated. If you choose not to go with it, then that's council's decision. I will enforce what you guys decide.
The one concession, because there was a concern about the campgrounds having the ability to previously have a campfire starting at 4 p.m.
Correct.
You want to make a concession that shifts it a little bit, opens opportunities a little bit, make that consistent 4 p.m. instead of the 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. During the day is high risk. Ground dries out, wind picks up, UVs are stronger, and does anyone really need to have a fire 24 hours a day? The odd person that feels that they have to have one if we change the time from 6 p.m. to 4 p.m. between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., they can get a permit for that for daytime burning.
Councilor Zula?
I would prefer to leave it in there for people that are saying they need the fire for cooking. They need to cook their breakfast. They need to cook their lunch.
And they can cook their breakfast because it's up to all in the end.
Councilor Zula, finish.
I prefer it to be left in. That's my opinion. And because I feel that it's very onerous on the person to have to be getting a permit for it, and I think most people are responsible. People that need the fire for cooking, I don't think we should be denying that.
Councilor Ron?
I would like to leave it in too, in very simple terms. I mean, it's a common occurrence for me when I have grandkids around, which I have all the time, but I have more grandchildren around on weekends, and they want to do hot dogs for lunch, and frankly, they want to do marshmallows every hour of the day. But and I think it's a pretty innocuous thing to do, especially if MNRF supports this, then certainly I would like to think so. And again, I would change how we've worded it, because in that piece, Rob, we mentioned cooking fires only at the end, in other words, in 501C, whereas if we started it the other way around, saying a cooking fire is permitted any time except in high extreme or RFZ conditions. It conveys exactly the same intent, but I think it's clear that the cooking fire is the thing. It's not just a fire for a fire, it's fire
absolutely.
For cooking.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
I'd support that. It's the entire. This all started when I proposed a system for alerting things. And various things came out, and people thought I was removing rights at that time, but I really wasn't. I was just attempting to install a system that would allow for the alerts to be sent out. If you want to remove it, like I said, I'm fine with it. If you want to keep it in, the entire purpose of us reworking this was to make it less ambiguous and easier to understand. So, by all means, if that's an easier way to write it so that everybody can understand it, then great.
And this isn't about the citizens not taking fire safety seriously. The fact of the matter is you can't control the wind and you cannot control the sparks that leave your campfire. No matter how clear you have around that spot, the wind can blow those sparks quite a distance away, and I've actually seen that. And it's quite unsettling when you see the area that you have is made of non-combustible area, and 100 feet away a fire starts.
Absolutely. That's why I advocated for the larger clearances. That's just absolutely. Yeah.
Councilor Zulak?
So in other words, why don't we just ban fires altogether?
We're not doing that.
No,
you're
suggesting.
You're absolutely incorrect.
No?
People can have fires 6 months of the year, 24 hours a day, but the 6 months when it's the highest risk, then we're limiting it from the time from 6 p.m. till 10 a.m., which is the lowest risk. The dew falls on the ground about 6 p.m., and then the wind dies down, and the ambient temperatures drop, UV rays are lower, and it takes a lot more to get a fire going at nighttime, like during that time period, compared to during the day. It's just reducing the amount of risk exposure when you can accomplish the things that you need to do, enjoy a campfire, during the times that people have for decades in McKellar Township.
Councilor Zulak, and we'll finish this point on this one.
That's okay.
Okay.
There's no point.
Now we'll have to put it all to a vote at some point. I'm just looking through the changes that we've agreed to, and just for Carly's sake, I think, just for clarification, the bottom of page 5, we've got 1 and then we've got 2, and this is on 5E, so just for technical.
Where are we looking at here? Campfire shall not exceed
minimum distance of 2 meters, but 1 is in there for some reason. It's still in the document.
So the 5E is minimum distance of 1. Oh yeah, 1 2 meters. Sorry,
right
now I see what you're saying. Absolutely.
Just for
clarity. Yes.
And the other one was where was it? The one that I referenced and we talked about it just for so Carly has this on 4C. That 8 is changed to a 5. And then Councillor Ryland's comment, I think you've already mentioned that one, so Carly's got it. We changed the order of...
just the wording, just to make it clear that cooking fire is the deal.
Right? And 3.4, where it says fire ban, we were going to add extreme, to match the verbiage.
But it may appear elsewhere, but I haven't spotted it anyhow, so...
Rob, do you have the section where you said removal of open-air bylaw burning exemption?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Removal of open air burning exemption. Do you know what section
that
was?
Yes, so that would be in the definitions.
9.
Open air burning exemption in the definitions, an exemption that it can be applied for. So you remove that from the definitions.
Okay, thank you.
I don't believe it's written anywhere else within the bylaw. It might also be a good practice for us to reference that at some point in the document that there is a separate fireworks bylaw that people can look to should they be looking for specific information on fireworks.
Mm-hmm. Rob, just to make sure it's not being forgotten, I know the campfires, we have the 1 meter diameter and height. In 4C, you have the 2 meters in diameter for the open air fire.
Yes, sir.
No height on that one?
No, there should be a height. It's essentially 2 meters squared. It's 1 meter squared, essentially. So it would be 2 meters height and width.
Okay, that's clear there, then?
You could put that in.
I can add it.
If it is a real term, would be cubed, but anyhow, I know people don't understand that. So.
Yeah, height is
height by width.
Most understood.
I understood. I think so.
Height and width.
I'm okay.
And the other one on page 11, I think just because one whole clause was taken out, so in the chart, it should refer to 15.1 again instead of 16.1, because I think one is removed.
What's that one under?
On the last page, on page 11, we're referring to a section that we...
Authority section, yes.
Yeah.
I think that we own 15.1 again because one clause was removed.
Yeah, so it the reference is correct, it's just the section number is wrong.
Right.
It should be section 15 in all cases.
Yeah.
Right?
Councilor Kiner.
So, I'm just trying to reconcile. When we first had these discussions and you had indicated that there weren't going to be daytime burning was not going to be permitted due to the increased risk factor, and that there isn't enough volunteer firefighters to respond to calls during the day.
So, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to re-clarify that because I don't recognize the statement.
So when we first were discussing this, when this came up as inquiries permits,
okay,
yes. And I believe Councillor Haskam had indicated that to increase the amount of times for having allowable times for for cooking or warmth, like 4 p.m., like the campfires, or the campsite, sorry. And you had indicated that, well, that's not going to be the case because that's the increased time of risk during the day, and that there weren't enough volunteer firefighters to respond to calls during that time period.
Yes, so the reason why they do have the time window is because as you said earlier, the decrease in humidity, the increase in wind, the dryness and stuff like that. Yes, it is also harder for us to get volunteers during the day, during the week. So yes, absolutely. That is one of the issues that we face when we allow any daytime burning. The original meeting, just a point of clarity, the original meeting was not the introduction of a burn permit. It was a system that would allow for the notification of different things,
yeah.
And somebody to be able to do it automated. None of the rules had changed at that point, right? They were all in effect since 2019. So as far as that goes, yes, it is one of the things, one of the reasons why they have permits, why they exist, is because of the increased risk. If I know where the fires are, then it's a lot easier for us to respond. I can then turn them down at certain points if the fire danger rating is too high and stuff like that. So that's exactly why they existed before. If you are trying to draw a correlation between that and campfires, at that point in time, I hadn't actually discussed the direct idea of allowing for cooking fires with the MNR at that point. Just going based on the Minister of the Environment, if you remember that document that I saved.
That was pretty irrelevant to what...
Well, it was how to construct an open-air burning law. It was the actual document put out by the heads of the ministries and ministers of the environment. So, and their recommendations were obviously a lot greater than what we're going for at this point in time, but I also knew that they were probably quite tight.
The question was...
Not necessary.
The question was, how has it changed with the amount of volunteer firefighters that can respond to allowing campfires, recreational fires during the day now compared to when you said a few months ago that there weren't enough volunteer firefighters to respond to those?
That hasn't changed at that point in time. I was merely quoting.
I think the question is
permit was.
Council as a whole, I think, wanted fewer restrictions and we talked about common sense, and that's exactly what Fire Chief has done. So he's done that, and I think we've come a long way from what we had originally.
I
so I'm to the point now that I think we have to put it to a vote here, and I don't know whether I'll ask Carly on this. With these changes, can we still vote on third reading with the changes that are
yes.
be recommended?
Yeah, they're not changing a lot of the bylaws, mostly just... Yeah, so I'm comfortable doing that. And I will circulate it to council once the changes are complete.
If we do make the changes today, then I would suggest that there is enough time to get it out there and known into the public through the MLCA, through social media. We'll be posting significantly about this over the next 2 weeks before the large population
right.
increase in our township. If we have to put it off, I would actually recommend put it off until September at that
right.
time.
No, I think we have to get it out there. Okay, Councilor Ryan.
One more thing is that I think what I'm calling here the graphic that's on page 10 of the document, I admit that when I was new here in particular and I was confused about various fire burning bylaws, burning rules, I'll just call them that, you know, and then looking up a document from the website and reading through it and getting, frankly, more and more confused by the time I read a few pages, and it used to be quite a length. I think that this may be the single most useful thing that we have, because this differs from the signage we have up, because in this model we have some text in here of kind of major points. I don't know if you agree with that term. I mean, easily understood things anyhow. And I'm not proposing that we necessarily change our signs, but if we had this graphic as amended available on our website and or on the fire department site, and you say you've got it.
Once we amend it, it will be shared through social media. Once we amend it, it will be available on the Encounter Township site as well.
Sure.
As anything to do with the fire department. I have a fantastic vehicle through the MLCA to be able to distribute information through their emailing list so we can get as many people as possible.
Sure.
And and we also discussed at one point, I believe, amending the current fire danger rating signs that we have so that they match the new ones that we've gone with, where I can get small tag signs underneath the older arrow boards to say, you know, reference the bylaw and where it was.
Mm.
But
it's more likely that somebody wanting to have a campfire that doesn't want to spend 11 pages reading would at least look at this, and maybe if there was something in particular, they might go look at the bylaw. I mean, I'd encourage anybody to if they want to, but this, I think, seems to be the best education tool that we probably have.
It is
a
very good quick reference tool.
Yeah.
Yes,
so.
Councilor Chicken?
So just for the record, that you are not concerned about the increased risk, and you can respond to any incidents that come on online.
Councilor Zulak?
I think you're getting confused here, Mike. I think the fire chief agrees with you. It's the rest of council that doesn't agree. I think that's where you're getting confused, because from what I'm hearing, the fire chief is in agreement with you. He's saying that what he stated before is still the same. Is that not correct?
What I said before is the same, yes.
So it's not the fire chief that, and which you're pointing your questions at. It is the rest of council that is not in agreement with you.
Well, to be able to make a decision, I need to be able to know that any incidents that arise because of a change in how things are being done are going to be able to be met by the fire department. You know, how can I reconcile something that was said a couple months ago with, you know, what the documentation says about increasing fire risk, and, you know, our ability to respond to that, and if we actually have concerns about that.
Well, I think he's agreed with you. He said that.
So we can meet that increased risk with response.
Councilor Chapman, we will respond to the best of our ability, to the best of our volunteers' ability, and the best of their response. So if we are able to get everybody there and everybody there quickly, we will get everybody there and get everybody there quickly. If we don't have anybody to respond, then that is reflected in our limited service part of our ENR bylaw. We will do the best that we can with the situations that we are confronted with. If council decides that they would like to allow certain things or change certain numbers in the bylaw that pre-existed in my arrival here, then my duty is to provide my expertise, but also to enforce council's wishes. And I think that we've done a very good job of finding a happy medium, of trying to open it up a little bit, yet at the same time not allowing too much and not getting carried away.
Good.
So,
thank you. I'll put it to a vote then. All the questions. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.
Do you have all the edits at Carly that you need?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Now, for those who were here at the beginning, we're all set, but I guess for those who weren't, we're now doing 17.1.
Okay.
The Fire Department month end status update for May 2024.
Okay.
Are there any questions for Rob on that?
It was a busy month. Very busy month. percent.
Yeah. Wow.
Is that higher or lower than average?
Well, we run a significant more medical calls than, I would say, municipalities to the east of us, because their agreements with the ambulance are a little bit more confined.
Okay.
Because of the distance that the ambulance has to travel, we help them out.
Sure.
A lot more than, let's say, McDougal, which only goes to the more serious. I believe this came up in the conversation about changing an address and services that were available. We offer more of response, or a more open for response criteria than they do and Paris Town does, because it takes the ambulance just that much longer to get here. So in order to provide quality intervention and life-saving measures, we get dispatched because we get there sooner.
Is the 51 calls, which I know you said is the most at this point in the calendar, is that significantly different than previous years?
Well, yeah, at this point in time, we had banner months in January and February, a little bit slower in March and April, and then May all of a sudden exploded. So yes, while last year I believe we ran 125 calls, if you look at the pace that we're on right now, we're probably heading towards 140 or so this year. So
okay.
It's creeping up.
Okay.
But the community risk assessment actually spells it out pretty good, I think, because it talks about aging population, talks about more people moving up here for full-time residents and stuff like that. So just the nature of the beast.
I resemble that remark. And I feel like it some days anyhow.
Regarding the Parry Sound Fire Department's Chief Thompson has very kindly donated the use of one of their soon-to-be out-of-service pickup trucks.
Yes.
For that period of time while the repairs are being done on one of our vehicles.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up to you. Chief Thompson, in discussions with him, because I was faced with a situation where we were possibly going to have to downgrade the service that we were able to offer, because our busiest truck was going to be out of commission for 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's not as easy to respond to medical calls in pumpers, especially on country roads and tight driveways. So in discussion with the chiefs in the area, Chief Thompson happened to have a vehicle he was replacing. So he's got a new chief's truck, I guess it is, or squad that he's taking possession of. And instead of immediately getting rid of this one, he's allowed us essentially a month to use it. So fantastic. I will definitely be writing a letter to Parry Sound Township or town to thank him for it, for sure, because it did allow us to maintain our level of service. So
yeah. That's very, very generous.
Anyway. Very generous.
Yeah.
So when it reaches end of life, is it still mechanically sound? Like,
are you talking about
the pickup truck that they're donating for this period of time?
I believe the course of action they're going to follow is to auction it off at the end of us using it. They may keep it as an out of service sort of truck that carries training equipment around, or carry air bottles to a fire scene, but nothing emergency. Keep it as a spare vehicle. I've heard both things sort of tossed around, but it's. Have you seen it before?
No.
No. Okay. It works.
Uh-huh.
Not pretty.
Oh. Okay.
But it works. Yeah.
Okay.
It's an older Chevy truck. Quite rusty, but we're very happy to have it.
Oh, okay.
For the month.
Okay, resolution 24-366, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received report FD-2024-13, month-end status update for May 2024 from Fire Chief Robert Morrison for information purposes. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 20.1, the RFP. Mm-hmm. I'll read the resolution first of all. 24-367, moved by Councilor Peckin, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby not award the request for proposal number 2024-10 for exterior painting and caulking of fire station number 2, and further direct staff to reissue the tender to exclude electronic submission of proposals. Discussion? Well, do you want to speak to that? I think you did last time, but...
No, apologies. We will take... Would you prefer for electronic submission to be completely out in terms of questions and stuff like that as well, or is it just the final package submission that cannot be electronic?
Yeah, just the final submission.
Just the final
submission.
Yeah, we'll questioning and everything like that, that's all fine by
yes.
email as well.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and then all questions received, we answer them, and then we post it publicly as well.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Okay. So, yes, it will, the RFP will be reconstructed to account for those issues.
Okay. Any other questions on that? Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 20.4, appointments. Resolution 24-368, moved by Councillor Haskam, seconded by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that Council of Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby appoints Alyssa Van Sullivan and Chris Pasulki to the rank of probationary firefighter with the Township of McKellar Volunteer Fire Department, as recommended by Fire Chief Robert Morrison. Now, if I did anything with those names, you can maybe help me with that translation.
I couldn't have done it any better. Yes, we're very excited to have them join us. They both have some experience, which is very valuable to us. You know, we're happy to have ladies join the department as well. And we actually have one more nurse she actually works in Perry Sound ER, who just didn't have her application done in time, but she'll be coming forward for the next council meeting.
So, excellent.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate that we have this interest in some very well-trained people.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Here. Now we have 23.2. That is the agenda as well. The Township Logos. Resolution 24-369, moved by Councillor Keckin and seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby approved the use of the Township of McKellar logo on the McKellar Fire Smart and Wildfire Prevention Educational Pamphlet, provided/paid for by the Manitowoc Lake Community Association, MLCA, to be distributed at the Ribfest event to be held on July 7th, 2024. Discussion? Whether you want to speak to that? Or?
I've been working with Steve, who's the head of the MLCA. Together we put forth an application for the Fire Smart grant, which he was successful with, which is big congratulations to them. It provided them with $500 which to print brochures and make information available to our residents about the FireSmart program, about how to create a FireSmart plan for your house as well as your property. And so they have done a lot of really great work, and Steve actually designed this whole thing himself, and I think he did a fantastic job. So I'm happy to have the fire department logo on there and the township logo. I think it's great that we support this movement here.
Excellent. So that's good that you had a chance to look at what they were putting together. You think it's all right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
No, I think it's great.
Okay. Councilor Ryan?
Would you consider putting a QR code on here? Just because people would have this, take it home, and then could scan it when they're if they're interested in following it up?
Issue with that.
Okay. I know Steve.
I would put that on to Steve because
I don't know how to do it. and Steve's really good at that, anyhow, because I mean, it turns it into something tangible that people are actually going to go and look at those things and say, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I know that the book now, at least I read that the book now link works that way too, although that would only be on an online version, of course. But
that, the book now link actually is for the Home Safe Home McKellar program,
right.
and that's available on the McKellar Fire Department
but a QR code is a close second to that.
And actually, Steve and I have also discussed getting more involved in township with this program and including it in some of the information, like when our building department has to approve site plans and bit safer from wildfires and stuff. So it's a very good program, and I'm happy to be part of it.
So the plan is to hand these out at the market? Is that
the plan is to hand these out at the market. We have a bit of a secret weapon in the fire department for Ribfest, where we get to have two booths. So a big presence there, and our second booth is going to be all about wildfires, so FireSmart, and what you can do to FireSmart your property. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, and we'll be selling really good rib triggers like that too.
Hopefully, we don't run out of ribs this year for sure. So.
Okay. Any further discussion on that? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Covered a lot of information there.
Yeah.
Yes, no, that's great.
So for those following the agenda, we're back to 14.1. I have resolution 24-370, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haslam. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the May 30th, 2024 special meeting of Council and the June 4th, 2024 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Okay, we're on to planning matters. Okay. Conflict here. I'll read out the actual resolution and then turn it over for a discussion with council, and then as it's been past practice too, we'll also open that up to the public at this point. So we have resolution 24-371, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haslam. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the proposed consent to create three new waterfront lots and a right-of-way at 176 Balsam Road in part of Lot 21 in Section 13, Township of McKellar, as applied for by Ted Greenwood in application number B20/2024 McKellar, and be approved subject to the following conditions. Number one, payment of a fee in lieu of parkland is required in the fees and charges bylaw. Two, that the applicant enter into a Section 5126 agreement to indemnify the township of any responsibility or liability for the proposed right-of-way. Three, that the severed lots be rezoned to the waterfront residential 1 or WF1 zone. Four, 911 addressing for the proposed new lots. And five, payment of any applicable planning fees. Open first for maybe Patrick could speak to this first of all. I think you're online, right?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Application B20-2024, Mr. Greenwood, is an application to create three new waterfront lots and a right-of-way from Balsam Road on Ryan Lake. The property is presently zoned tourist commercial, or C2. The historic commercial business has seven rental cabins and a residence on the property with associated docks. Proposed severance is designed to meet the WF1 standard of 60 meters frontage and 0.8 hectares in area. A rezoning is required as a condition of this consent. And this zoning will match properties across the lake that are already zoned waterfront one. There is some type 1 fish habitat in front of proposed severed lot 3. This habitat was identified by MNAL or Mikulski and Nelson Associates approximately 2009, and severed lot 3 has approximately 35 meters of frontage to clear this habitat. Thank you.
Any questions from council? I'll start off, Patrick. I'm just interested in, ownership more than anything. I notice that the applicant, Ted Greenwood, has signed this saying that he was the owner as of, we got here, May the 10th, 2024, and yet in your report, you have Ted purchase. So I guess I just need clarification on whether he's the owner or not. Part 12 hasn't been filled in for anybody applying on behalf of his part. So is Ted Greenwood the owner at this point?
I can answer that for you, Mr. Mayor. It is legal for a person to apply for a consent with a signed agreement of purchase and sale. I believe that sale closes on Thursday.
Thursday?
This coming Thursday.
Thursday.
This coming Thursday.
So I'm just trying to reconcile the signing, and I know you can't speak to this. It would have to be Mr. Greenwood. I don't know whether he's online. His signing saying that he's the consent of the owner to release personal information, and that was signed on May the 10th, 2024. And yet, we're finding out that he won't be the owner until Thursday. And even then, I guess my concern is that we've seen some real estate deals go awry for various reasons. And I guess what we're sitting here as council trying to decide, should we be passing something when we don't have the full information on and the ownership, I think, is fairly important. Since he didn't sign the application saying that anybody was acting on his behalf. So I'm just wondering if it's a little premature on that point. I had a couple other quick questions here while council is coming up with theirs, perhaps. This is on page 7 of your report, Patrick. No conflicts with the official plan. Having gone through, and then we received some information today as well, that there seemed to be a number of problems, perhaps, with the official plan. The consent's consistent with the PPS, and I just want a clarification on that from your perspective. You had said on page 5 that under the PPS, the lands are considered rural lands, and yet I'm just trying to get this clear. You'd said at the first that it's designated waterfront and it's also zoned commercial. But we're looking at the PPS for rural lands? I'm just not sure.
Rural in the provincial policy statement designated waterfront in the official plan. Zoned C2 in the zoning bylaw.
So the PPS for rural lands includes waterfront, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
You've also mentioned on page 7, under your conclusions, this is number 3 and number 5, that it's a down zoning. I guess because of what we've gone through recently, you're talking about the commercial potential there, and then it's going to be waterfront lots, residential. Because there could be any number of future consents, as evidenced by the comments, and with our short-term rentals, et cetera, I'm not sure how we can justify that it's going to be a down zoning. I'd just get your personal opinion on it. To me, the resorts are not run in the winter, and yet for short-term rental, if these lots become short-term rental, which is a potential, and we're asking for 3 now and then future perhaps, even though he said there's no future desire to look at more severances, your comments say it's likely to proceed with future consent applications. Maybe just explain your reasoning for a down zoning in a sense.
The reason for that comment of down zoning was just in the fact that a resort use is a more intensive use. Say if it became a trailer park or a rental cabin resort, again, it would be a more intensive use on the lake than if it were 3 or 4 owned cottages. That would be considered a down zoning and a less intensive use.
If it's 3 or 4, but I guess my question is, if it's 15 or 20, I don't know. I'm looking at the frontage that was suggested and that the possibility of future consent. could it be a number of severances there? Could it be, like I say, 15 perhaps down the road? I know we can't look at a future plan, but would it really be less intensive if that actually happened?
I'm not sure about 15, but there definitely is future severance potential. I can't comment on whether it would be used for short-term rental purposes or not. I did mention that there could be future severance potential in my report.
Right, okay. And I wondered too, in this particular one, because I've been looking at our official plan and our zoning, and I look for Ryan Lake in particular. I'm not sure if you have all of the documents in front of you there, but I was looking at our specific lake policies. Is this clear? You can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. And it said at one point, this is on page 58 of our official plan, lakes with total phosphorus measured above 0.02 milligrams per liter are deemed to be a capacity for development, and you'd have to seek more information from Ministry of the Environment and Climate Change. They should be consulted for technical advice. And I look up Ryan Lake, the actual description of it, and it seems to give two different figures there. Now, instead of 0.02, it references 0.019, slightly under on the surface, and yet down below it's talking about 0.039, which is above the phosphorus. And it says in there, for instance, under the description for Ryan Lake, that there should be mitigation purposes, actually some plan, if you could possibly be increasing the phosphorus load. I don't see anything in here for any kind of a report, environmental report, that we've seen in a number of applications in the past. How do we know that there are mitigation plans for phosphorus reduction if there's no study done to indicate how this could be accomplished? I'm just questioning if there should be some kind of a plan done, a study. Since it's very close to the border here. So.
Okay. The only knowledge I have about phosphorus mitigation measures is to say that new technology in septic systems can be shown to have no impact on the lake when V horizon soils are used to construct the septics. So technology has progressed since these documents, but perhaps someone should do a study, council wishes to assess, because I agree that the numbers are not clear as far as the phosphorus concentration.
Put out to council and comments here. Councilor Ryan?
Shouldn't we make it a potential conditional?
Condition.
Yeah. Without knowing exactly what wording we would use, but I mean, it seems to me that we should. I know it's a critical concern to the Lake Stewardship and Environment Committee, not this lake in particular, but just the phosphorus level and the impact on potential blue-green algae, which would, you know, pretty much destroy anybody on the lake. If that arose, right, then you're basically unable to use the water for any purposes, swimming, drinking, letting your pets go in, and all the rest. So it's particularly serious. I would imagine that there would be a material cost for this, but I mean, we wouldn't want, you know, the lake to be sabotaged by, I think, well-intentioned people simply by making a mistake and increasing the phosphorus level out of control, right? And I understand what you're saying, Patrick, relative to, you know, if septics are built to a new standard, but what if the issue is from, you know, other runoff or other properties on the lake? And I don't know that at all. It's just conjecture. But that would seem to me to be a very serious concern. Especially for somebody that potentially would buy one of those lots and then find out that the water is potentially unusable. So.
Right. My only comment to that, the risk of error, is I have been told this is a spring-fed lake and that the water quality is actually very good, but that is not my area of expertise.
Well, the Patrick, you probably know this, the MLCA does water testing for us in McKellar, and not just of Manitowabing. I'm pretty sure that this lake is done as well. I don't know the statistics, but they are available on the township website under the Lake Stewardship and Environment Committee. I don't know if that will shed any further light on it. But I mean, this would be, you know, having a high phosphorus level and or having blue-green algae would be potentially catastrophic for the people on the lake. So I think that's a significant reason to at least consider making it a condition here, is to get a professional analysis done. So, I mean, it basically shuts down your lake completely. The property values and everything else would drop like a stone. There's evidence of that, and in Muskoka, I'm going to get the lake wrong. I think it's 3 Mile Lake, but it doesn't matter, where property values just drop off the face of the earth because you couldn't use the lake anymore. Right? I think that since then they've been able to recover. But I know that story went around the Lake Stewardship and Environment Committee, because, you know, that's the impact of something like this happening without, you know, without proper consideration, anyhow.
Yes, it does make sense to me, definitely, to get someone to look at that.
I can either find or get it or send it to you or arrange to send it to you, Patrick. I mean, in terms of what the last water testing on the lake showed. And again, it's not necessarily the be-all and end-all, but I mean, certainly adding more properties and more use might be the tipping point. That's the only thing. And again, I'm not saying it is. It might not be either. But I mean, it's risky for anybody in this situation. If it's near a tipping point and we add, you know, a few more places, maybe that's what drives it over the edge, and then nobody would be happy. But
yeah, for clarification, they probably haven't done any studies on Ryan Lake.
I think
they're limited to Manitowabing, McKellar, and maybe they've added one.
No, I think we do. I don't remember the number, but we do a significant number of lakes in McKellar Township. So that doesn't mean we did Mary Lake. I'm not saying that.
No, Ryan. Yes.
Ryan Lake, sorry. I don't know where that came from. But I can find out from the committee and just see if there's anything there that helps us understand this. But my other concern, to go back to what the mayor mentioned, is given the signatures on the form, especially in section 10, the affidavit sworn declaration, you know, there's a solemn declaration that all statements contained in this application are true, and I make solemn declaration conscientiously believing it to be true, and knowing except the same force and values if made under oath. So that if that isn't true, it pretty much pulls the rug out from under this, even if it's only till Thursday. I just, on a procedural basis, I mean, is it possible for us to defer this until after this Thursday? And would that change it? Or, I mean, the fact is, though, from a limited background, this would appear to be an invalid statement at the moment. I don't want to make it worse than anything that like that, but and undoubtedly well-intentioned, but I just don't.
I'm not averse to the deferral, because I think we need to, personal affront, Patrick, but we don't have a report from any planner as such on this particular application. It's an application that could be the beginning of a number of future applications on a small lake. So I think it's important that we receive a planner's opinion, whether it be J.L. Richards, whoever we turn to, and get a report on this particular application. So that's why I would recommend deferral as well, as you're suggesting, until more information comes forward to us. And that might also clear up the ownership issue, you're right, in the meantime. I think that would go a long way.
It would at the very least make it more comfortable than I would be otherwise, if we are knowing that it's not Correct. I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to paint it with a black brush, just to state the obvious anyhow. It's a real risk to make a statement that is not entirely accurate, so.
Councilor Hassman, you were going to?
I would agree with that we should look at deferral and have the application resubmitted to the planning board, ensuring that whoever does sign it is in fact the owner or representative. But obviously I don't think, as it's been mentioned, that Mr. Greenwood was in fact the owner as of May 10th. So I would say resubmitting, and then I guess at that point maybe Patrick can relook at it and whether he recommends a study be done on the lake.
Well, that's something, again, a condition that council would consider,
right?
A planner's report and a study on the environmental report.
No, we would make that recommendation when the application comes back in,
right.
Yes, I guess not at this point.
Right, not at this point, if it's
right.
All to be deferred. Yeah. Now, as I promised, too, that unless there are other council comments at this point, I would open it up to the public. The council's procedure has been that we don't wait until the very end of the meeting when a lot of decisions have already been made. So there's a limit of time, but certainly, you know, the direction council is heading at this point. If the public has any particular comments in person or in Zoom, then we can certainly listen to those as well.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, it's Ted Davidson. Your microphone is cutting in and out, so I didn't know whether you were asking for any public comment or not.
Well, I think I've been told that, but if it's my beard that's in the way, I'm not about to shave that off, so we'll have to resolve this somehow.
Okay, well, you'll have to get a beardless or a weedless mic.
Go ahead, your comments, yes.
I sent some comments through the last minute, because I only received this agenda on last Friday, and so a lot of the comments from council have already been addressed. One of the concerns I have is we have a lake here that has an average water depth of 8 feet of water. I think the deepest part is 6 meters or 20 feet. And we also have an indication that there may be some phosphorus overload or nearing overload. And that the mitigation measures with respect to phosphorus may enter into the for example, the lot area that we're dealing with, to allow for a lot area to absorb the phosphorus from a septic system. So that's why I indicated that perhaps if it's going to be converted from a C2 to a WF zone, it may not be that the WF1 zone lot area provisions or the frontage provisions, given there's also fish habitat, is the appropriate zone. And that should be done by way of the site evaluation report that's outlined in the official plan for McKellar, with the determination of new lots, new residential lots. Also, the application indicated that no further severances would be sought. Yet, I think Patrick's report indicates that further residential consent applications may be issued in the future, or may be sought in the future. So here we have then a continuation of consent after consent. My understanding is it may be Mr. Greenwood's plan to change the commercial C2 zoning in total to an appropriate WF1 zone, and you may want to consider not doing that on a piecemeal basis, like one consent after another, but doing it up front now to establish the appropriate lot frontages, the access to all these lots, etc., etc. So I'll leave it at that, Mr. Mayor and members of council. You're the planning authority. You will make the most responsible decision. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Davidson, for your comments.
You're welcome.
Councilor Ryan.
I looked it up in Ryan Lake. It's not done. There is 23 locations that are done in other places in McKellar, mostly in Manitowabing, but anyway, that's kind of why it was there, but it's not accurate, so.
So you're adding that to the list, are you?
What's that?
You're adding that to their list?
I can ask. The difficulty is usually finding a volunteer that will actually do
right.
the water testing, and it's quite specific how it has to be done, so.
Anything else from council or the public?
Oh, Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry to interfere. There's one other matter. The Planning Act was amended recently. If you can keep up with the Planning Act amendments, I think there's been about 30 or 40 in the last couple of years. But the Planning Act was amended to allow purchasers of people with agreements of purchase and sale to actually file the planning applications.
Okay.
You would want to consider then, is there a valid agreement of purchase and sale between the owners and Mr. Greenwood?
Okay, thank you. I'll put it out to Councillor Ryland, your motion. Do you want to defer?
Yes.
More information?
Yes. And potentially whether, you know, a condition of water sampling is required, right? But I imagine it's expensive, but I mean, I wouldn't want to do it frivolously by the same token. I think it's, you know, very serious to think that this could be a problem, so.
And seconder is okay?
Yes.
Okay, then I'll call for the vote then for deferral. All those in favor?